Well, has anybody ever had a week where you had the list of tasks before you, you had scheduled them all out accordingly, and, you know, you really had that plan all laid and all set, and you thought, this is going to be a great week moving forward. It's going to be a tough week, but it's going to be a great week moving forward. And then you get to Monday. And all of a sudden, Monday, you find yourself on the phone trying to set up something. Another piece that we worked on this past week was our Office 365, so our Windows program software, needed to be re-updated. And in doing so, it would have been $99 for the year. And I had caught wind through the gal who's helping us take care of our financials over in Cloquet. She said there's a nonprofit organization called TechSoup that you can get your office software through at a discounted rate. And I thought, well, I'm all about getting a discount. It's kind of like the coupon thing, right? Okay. And so I started pursuing that actually 2 weeks ago. Finally got to the point of talking to a human being. You know how that goes. And so I get to talking to the human being, and they, you know, I think we got it all laid out. I said, I really just need to create documents, and I need to be able to do PowerPoint. Okay, great. Got it all set up. Found out that's going to be free. Awesome. Go to try and install said software, only to find out I don't have Windows, or Office program. I can't create documents. I can't do PowerPoint, but I can Skype. I've never Skyped in my life. I'm like, what do I need that for? And there was something else that I could do, and I'm like, I don't have a need for that. I just need to be able to create documents. So I get on the phone, and the TechSoup person says, I don't understand what happened, why you can't download things. Have you set it all up? I said, I set it all up. I've got all of the stuff, information I need to put in there. And she said, well, you'll have to call Microsoft Office. Okay, so I call Microsoft Office. And she had said to me before, she said, when you call Microsoft's 800 number, she said, press option 4. That's the one you're going to want. Great. Dad knows the story. Mom knows the story. I downloaded much earlier this week. And so anyway, in that, I call the 800 number, listen to option number 1, 2, 3. That's not what I need. There's no option 4. There's only 3 options, and I'm like, great. So which of the 3 options now do I need to choose? And I thought, you know what, I'm going to call TechSoup back. So I called TechSoup back. We're sorry. We're closed. No lie. And I'm like, I'm about at wit's end, because if I don't have this program, I'm going to have to reroute the bulletin for the church to my own personal computer, which has Office, and create it there. So I call Microsoft back and say, is there anything that you can do to help me? Well, I thought it was all set up, and I tried to download it yesterday, I think it was, because I finally had the church computer at home. Nope, still not there. And so it was a very frustrating week last week. Great meetings. Had a meeting, a prayer meeting on Wednesday. Somebody else led that prayer meeting, and it gave me an opportunity to decompress a little bit, so that was fantastic, and we're going to continue to do that, because as I told the prayer team, the pastor is not the only one who can lead. Other people in the church can lead. We're going to continue to do that. In addition to that, had a Northeast Section meeting Thursday morning, had the board meeting Thursday night. Really a productive meeting. It was a long meeting, but it was a productive meeting, and I'm thinking that's great. I still have Friday and Saturday to get the message for Sunday morning on the computer screen, because if you've watched me, you see I have a manuscript. I follow it word for word. I feel a lot safer that way. Guess what? God likes to take us out of our comfort zone. Because I don't have a manuscript today, but I do have pink post-it notes. And if anybody who has been with me the last 7 months whether in my home, sitting at my dining room table, in my office at home, which used to be our old living room, or in the office here at the church, you know it's all about pink Post-it notes. They are everywhere. But I realize that it's one of a couple of things that must have been happening. And I'm just going to be transparent this morning. You guys probably wouldn't want it any other way anyway. I either overdid it and I just didn't have anything left in me. And God was saying, what does he say in his word? Come to me, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest. I don't know if that's what it was. But I could do nothing on Friday and Saturday but rest. Okay, there was a lot of sobbing in the middle of the living room floor going on too. God, I can't do this. How am I going to make this work? What am I supposed to do? And it's very frustrating as a pastor to know that God's put something on your heart. And every time you rest, okay, so every time I'd lay down thinking, okay, I just need to take a little nap, I'll recharge, and then it'll be fine. Every time I'd lay down, it's like he would give me, I don't know if he was giving it to me, all this stuff would like, okay, so I should say this, and I should say this, and this would be point one, and this would be point two. And the minute I'd get my feet on the floor, it's like, poof, gone. And it's like, this is really frustrating. So I had a notebook, and I had all kinds of things written down, and it was like, I just couldn't put it together. So again, I don't know if it was because I was tired, or if it was God saying, you know what? You are trying to set things up so perfectly, so organized. Are you going to give me space to move? Now, God is perfect in all his ways. We sang about it. We can say it with confidence. Oh, but to live it out is not so easy. It is not so easy. Because I take it very seriously, the responsibility that he has called me to lead this church. And it's Father's Day. And I want to honor you fathers, because you are important. The role that you fulfill is critical. So, with that said, know that it is my heart that you are ministered to this morning. So I have no idea all that God has planned. I'm going to give you what I feel like he has put on my heart to give. Please know it might not be nice, neat, and tidied, and all wrapped up with a nice Father's Day bow this morning. But know that we appreciate you so very much. And we know that God's word does not return void, and I'm hanging on to that this morning. So if you have your Bibles with you this morning, you can turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. And Moses is talking to the people and kind of doing a recap about the Ten Commandments. And there's one I feel like I have fallen exceedingly short on. What is that one? Observe the Sabbath. Keep it holy. We're supposed to rest. Oops. I grew up in a family that worked 7 days a week. That's what we did. And there was always work before us. And that's not bad to be ambitious and to work hard. Nothing wrong with that. But if we continue on that path, we will wear ourselves out. And yes, I know the saying, you can either rust out or you can wear out. You know, what are you going to choose? Well, you know, quite frankly, I would rather stay that middle ground somewhere in there that's a little healthier. But again, it was easy then for me to step into this ministry role, because there's always work in front of you. And I wasn't giving myself enough time to rest. So hopefully moving forward, just a heads up, Pat's schedule has changed, and he's going to have Mondays off. And my intentions moving forward are to also take Monday off. Now, if there is a critical emergency need, know that my phone is always available 24/7. If it is just to ask a little question that could wait until Tuesday, great. Let it wait till Tuesday, because guess what? I need help in being able to do this well. And I'm going to need help guarding that Monday, because I know myself well enough. It's easy for me to say, oh, this one phone call or this one email or whatever. You know it, 4 hours has passed by. So just wanted to give you a heads up on that. But Moses is reviewing the commandments, the situation. He knows he's not going to be able to enter into the promised land, but it's still his heart that he would prepare the people to be able to enter into the promised land under Joshua's leadership. And so he is encouraging the people to remember God's commands. And those are rules. Those are good things. As we think about fathers, they set good rules for their kids to protect them, to help them to grow. And God does the same thing for us. He gives us rules to live by to help us. And so in chapter 6, verse 4, Moses says, "Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today." Now, a lot of times people will look at the Ten Commandments and say, well, those were in the Old Testament. Well, when Jesus came, he didn't come to compete with the law. He came to complete the law. And so Jesus said that that he taught the love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength as the first, the greatest, and the most important commandment, and that obeying it one would live. So Jesus wasn't there to compete with the law. He was there to complete the law. And so in that, we can still look at the Ten Commandments. We can still look at those as guidelines, boundaries for us to live within. And so Moses goes on to say in verse 7, to repeat them, being the commandments, repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home and when you're on the road, when you're going to bed and when you're getting up. Tie them to your hands, wear them on your foreheads as reminders, write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Repeat them again and again to your children. When Pat and I were first saved, our kids were 14 and 16 years old. They hadn't really spent any amount of time in church. In fact, I don't know that our oldest son had ever gone to church before Pat and I started going to church together as a husband and a wife. And we thought, oh my goodness, it's our responsibility to teach our kids these things. Okay, you know how formal I am about teaching and whatnot. So we thought we're going to have a family devotional time. We're going to do this right. Now, there's wonderful things about family devotion times. But when you're starting a 14 and 16-year-old boy out with the things of God, having a formal sit-down formal or a family devotional time probably isn't going to do it. And it didn't. It was the most painful thing with our teens we probably had ever attempted. And we realized as we matured in our faith, there's a lot of ways that we can share the things of God with our sons and our daughters that isn't a sit-down formal devotional time. Again, those things are great. If that works for your family, keep doing it. But a lot of times, it's when a dad grabs the fishing poles and they head off to the lake. And you have the opportunity because there's not all this outside noise. I suggest ask the kids to leave the cell phones at home. But you don't have all this noise coming in, and you can just get together and visit. Because as we see our friendships and our relationships developing with everybody in our lives, it gives us permission to be able to speak into a life if we have that relationship already built. And so you grab those fishing poles or you grab the basketball and you head out to the court outside in the driveway and you shoot hoops with your kid. You have an opportunity to build relationships so you can talk about the things that are vital and important. I remember my dad taking us fishing as little girls. Now, what brave dad is going to take four girls in a 16-foot boat, 14-foot boat? Okay. Four little girls, probably from, let's see, if I was, I'll say six, my baby sister was three, and then there was eight and ten. Now, you can well imagine what my dad ended up doing that whole time we were fishing. Untangling lines. That's what he ended up doing. But he was building relationship with his girls. And that was important. It's not going to be perfect. Life is messy. Lines are going to get tangled. But it's forming relationships, and that gives specifically dads. Moms, it's easier to have a conversation with our kids. Dads, it's a little bit harder. And so you have to be intentional about making sure that you form that relationship with your kids. And then you can speak into it a little more readily. It's been said that the very core of Christian nurture is this. The heart of the father must be turned to the heart of the child in order to bring the heart of the child to the heart of the Savior. Dads, for those of you that know Jesus as your Savior, I can well imagine that's the most important thing that you want your kids to grab hold of. While it's important to show them how to sharpen the lawnmower blade or put gas in the tank, or whether it be check the oil or change the oil in the car, change the tires. Maybe it's hanging a piece of sheetrock in your process of doing an upgrade in your house, or maybe it's getting them up on the roof because you don't have as high of roofs as we have at our house, and you get your kids up there, although I think they were actually up there, which scared me. But shingling, you know, those things are all good to teach our kids. But the most important thing is to teach them to love the Lord, their God, with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their strength, with all their mind. I'll throw the other ones in there. That's the most important thing that we can teach our kids, specifically as dads. Statistics say that if a dad is present in the home while the kids are growing up, they're going to be more likely to go to college or find stable work. They're going to be more likely to not have a teenage pregnancy. They're going to be more likely to not be in jail. They're going to be much more secure in them as a person because of the presence of their dad in the home. Now, the reality is some of you may have either been raised without a dad or maybe raised your kids without a dad. This is not to degrade that. I'm just saying percentage-wise, that's what the statistics say. And so just your mere presence is huge. So don't think, I messed it up, I lost my temper. Your presence in the home is powerful. But of course we need to couple that with relationship too, to give you permission to be able to speak into your kids' lives. You might be wondering, well, what does it really mean to love the Lord? Because it seems kind of broad. It means to choose Him for an intimate relationship, to obey His commands, that loving Him with your whole heart, with all your heart, and then it's to pervade every aspect of our being and life, our soul and our strength. It's that receiving Jesus as our Savior, which has that restored relationship with our Heavenly Father, so that we can then model that for our kids. A lot of what we can do, and dads specifically, as parents, is to be able to demonstrate your commitment to loving God. Let them see you reading your Bible. Let them hear you praising God. Tell them praying for you. Especially as older, when our kids get to be adults, it's vital that we continue to let them know, praying for you. We're proud of you. To go ahead and share your faith with them. And it doesn't mean, again, that we're telling them, do this, do that, although there may be a time and a place for that. It's more so that we're going to go ahead and we're going to show them by some of the things that we've worked through. In other words, being honest and transparent before our adult kids and just saying, hey, you know what? I had a difficult time this week. Really struggled, but God brought me through it. So go ahead and share the real things in life. Kids don't want parents that are perfect. Kids want parents that are real. It's okay. It's okay to realize that maybe you've made a mistake. Maybe you lost your temper. Certainly done that before. And then I go to the kids and say, you know what? Forgive me. Forgive me. I got short with you. There's no excuse other than I made a mistake. Be real with your kids. Again, I think the best way that we can demonstrate our relationship with the Lord to teach our kids the love that we have for Him is by how we live out our life. You know, Scripture tells us to, you know, tie them around our foreheads and where else was it saying? Anyway, to do that around our hands, it's just a symbolic way of saying, keep those things of the Lord before us at all times. You know, if you're one that likes to hang Scripture on the wall, that writing it on the doorposts, great, nothing wrong with that. But then, of course, we want to live those things that we have on our walls. And again, it's a symbolic way of keeping before us our commitment to God, and our kids will see that. Again, I had no idea what God wanted to do with this morning. And it's a rather unsettling place to be in. But again, it's God isn't going to make us have these perfect, tidied up lives. And that goes for being a father as well. Because if we're doing that, we're probably not living real lives before our family and our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we're probably not letting God stretch us like He wants us to. Or once He wants us to, yes. And so, again, dads, you are vitally important. You have a role to play that no one else can do. And we thank you so much for what it is that you're doing as a dad in your family and realistically probably to other people as well. And it is so very important. And so we want to honor you this morning. Again, I welcome all men in the group to come forward. We do have a little package for you. And it has our part of our scriptures on here. And thank you, Wendy and company, probably, for putting them together. It says, "And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Walk about them when you are at home and when you are on the road, when you're going to bed and when you're getting up." And so, because you're going to be either on the road, walking, or whatever it may be, we gave you a little bag of trail mix to keep you well nourished as you go. But I think it's important, as we are in prayer, to be able to let God speak through us. And that's those opportunities that dads are going to have. is when you have that relationship with your Heavenly Father. He can speak through you when you're walking along life, this road of life with your kids. Again, it's not always going to be neat and tidy, but it's a beautiful thing because we can be real and transparent and to admit that we've made mistakes and know that we've been forgiven by our Heavenly Father. And when we are transparent with our kids, they're more readily able to forgive us for our mistakes as well. So dads, I know this is really going to get you out of your comfort zone, but I should not be the only one in the room today that's out of their comfort zone. So, so dads, I'd love to have you come gather up front. We want to pray a blessing over you this morning as well. And so please do not be shy. So all the dads and men, please, we'd like to have you come forward. And ladies, you can follow after them as we just want to surround them this morning. There are a few different mixes, so when we get done with the prayer this morning, we'll let you guys each grab a bag. And then we'll also have prayer available after service as well, as we always do that, because we recognize sometimes people come in with things on their hearts, and we want to be able to, okay, you guys, it's okay. The altar is not a scary, yes it is. No, I'm just kidding. but if you came in with a prayer need on your heart, we want to give you an opportunity to come and meet with the prayer team and pray about those things. And so I want to give you opportunity for that after service. So ladies, if you would, you can either stand behind your husband or boyfriend and lay your hands on them if you'd like, and then we're just going to pray. So Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for these men that stand before you. Lord, our church needs strong men of faith. Our families need strong men of faith. Our community and nation need strong men of faith, filling all kinds of different roles. Yes, as father, first and foremost, as the father of their children, but also, of course, their husbands, because the most precious gift relationally that a father can give his children is to love their mother. And so, Lord, we just thank you for these men. We ask, Lord, that you would strengthen them. We ask that you would raise them up as you draw them deeper into the things of your word. Lord, we pray just a strength for them as men. Lord, that they would be able to provide for their families. Lord, that they'd be able to protect their families. And Lord, that they would be strong enough to be okay, to be transparent and real with their families. And so, Lord, we just pray a blessing over them. Lord, they are each an important part of this church family. And so, Lord, we thank you for each one. Bless them richly, I pray. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen.